Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling to you live this week from somewhat overcast and rainy Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And I have my co-host and friend, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself, with us today from ProfitableStorytelling.com. Hello, Miss Rhonda. How are you?
Well, hey there. I am absolutely great. Glad to be back here for another terrific episode. And from hot and semi-overcast Branson area.
Well, hopefully you are certainly doing better off weather-wise than some of the folks up in New England this week. That was just awful, wasn't it?
Yes, I mean, I spent a lot of Sunday calling my clients, friends, you know, all kinds of people that I know of who live on the coast, and at least the folks in my world were all fine, but I know that not all have fared as well, so I'm just really grateful that many of the folks in my community are emerged unscathed. My goodness, what a big weather event.
Oh, my goodness. I know I've got a few friends that I still haven't been able to reach yet, and their phones are still out of service. They're still without power. One of them, one of my JV partners, Michael Angiers from SuccessNet.org, and I've been trying to reach him for a couple days. He's up in Vermont, and I still haven't been able to reach him.
Wow.
So hopefully he and his are doing well.
Yeah, maybe reach out on some of the networks and see if anyone else has heard from him.
Oh, that's a very good idea. I think I will do that.
You know, Google Plus and Facebook in particular, see if maybe somebody's heard from him.
Yeah, very good idea.
Yeah, why not?
So we have a great show scheduled for everyone today.
Yeah, we do, because, and it's not something that we've really dealt with before. We've talked about goals. We've talked about getting back on track if you've gotten astray of goals and things like that. But one really big piece of it that we haven't talked about really is time management or time mastery.
Very important topic, and one that so many of the students in the DU Bachelor's program are really stumped by right now.
Yeah, I see that. I see that in people having a hard time figuring out how to spend their time or finding that, as they say, time has gotten away from them. And I know of so many people, especially people that have kids going back to school and things like that, now they seem to be putting everything else in the world on hold because they have to buy pencils for their kids. And it just, you know, kind of odd. Anyway, so there are a lot of things going on around basically letting your calendar run you instead of you scheduling and running your calendar.
And, you know, there's just so much to do in your business. If you don't get time mastered, it is going to be overwhelming. It is going to be very difficult to get everything accomplished that you need to get accomplished. And you'll find that you're not going to be getting results just because you haven't learned to master time. So it is one of the single most important topics, I think, in any entrepreneur's business.
Right. Which is why it was high time we had a show about it. So
I think that's a very good idea.
Right. And I will tell you, I'll give you kind of a sneak preview that we do have some awesome guests coming up Lance Tomashiro has agreed to be our guest, which I'm very excited. I don't know if
he's wow.
here. Yeah. He is going to be our guest, and Robert Plank. Both of them are very big into membership sites and blogging and great with relationships, and they are coming. We have some folks from a co-authored group book project who are coming, and I know a couple of your students are involved in that book about extraordinary women. So we have those. We have all kinds of awesomeness happening. But seeing that this is kind of in the back-to-school era and the time when some of the folks are going, okay, the kids are back in school, now I can focus on my business, it's a good time to regroup about time. It's about time. And help people master that.
I couldn't agree more.
Right.
So
let's talk about for you, in dealing with your students in DU, you see some common mistakes that people make with their time, and do you think that might be a good place to start? Some of those mistakes
I
are?
Do.
Okay.
I do. In fact, let's make it even more personal than that. Let's talk about my own life and
okay.
time. Several years ago, I, as you know, was one of the mentees of Stephanie Frank. And
mm-hmm.
when I first started working with Stephanie, I actually used to pride myself on being a great multitasker. I was so proud of the fact that I could handle many different tasks all at the same time. And I used to say all the time that I was someone who could handle 6 tasks at one time. It was always the 7th that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And it was through working with Stephanie that I really started to realize why that was such a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Most entrepreneurs think of themselves as multitaskers and, like me, pride themselves on being good at it.
Yep.
Only thing is, if you're multitasking, you're not giving any one task the attention it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
And while it looks like and may even feel like you're getting more done, if you actually did each task separately, the amount of time it would take you to accomplish the task, focusing on only one task at a time, would be much smaller than the amount of time it would take you to multitask through multiple things. Does that make sense intuitively? No, it really doesn't. But it really is what happens. So one of the things that you've got to learn if you're going to be successful in your business is that you've got to find a way to not multitask. You've got to find a way to bring your time under control so that you can start focusing on just one task at one time and not more than one. And
right.
what that usually looks like in application is that you literally do have to shut off things like email, instant message, telephone, in order to really focus on just one thing at one time. There's no other way to do it. The distractions that we have as business owners are so voluminous. I mean, they're really awful. And there's just nothing else that you can do to really get it to work.
Yeah.
So, short of just turning everything off, just do it. There's no other way to say it. You just have to do it.
That's absolutely right. And I am a selling example myself, too. I am a recovered multitasker, and like yourself, I used to feel really good about being able to get so many things done. And in my case, it was through working with Mark Joyner's Simpleology program that set me straight.
Yeah.
And realizing, and now I teach people what I call it focus tasking instead of multitasking, where it's just simply the idea is to do one thing at a time and cut all distractions and don't be looking at the email every 5 minutes or responding to different things or having Facebook up while you're working on something. So, like yourself, I used to be that multitasker and came to realize I really was not as effective as I thought. And so many times somebody says, I'm a great multitasker, I say, oh, I'm so sorry for you.
You know, me too. And I never really realized it till I started working with Stephanie. That one thing that she really taught me has been worth 10 times more than what I spent in her mentoring program. I cannot tell you how much of a difference it's made in my life. And the one thing that we all have to realize is multitasking is a habit.
Yep.
A bad one at that. And so for those of us that are really looking at things in a multitasking kind of way, we really are doing ourselves a very big disservice because of the fact that it has become a bad habit in our lives. And just like with any other bad habit, like smoking, for example, how do you break the habit? Well, it takes some energy, effort, and focused attention to break the habit. Will it feel icky while you're breaking the habit? I will promise you it will feel miserable.
It will be awful. It'll be such a temptation to go and check whatever, open whatever, you know, switch over and see how something else is doing. It will be a temptation, and it will be something you just have to resist.
And, you know, there isn't anything else you can do to fix it other than put your attention on breaking the habit. Work at it a little bit. The sooner you do it, the sooner you're really going to start to see results from it. And it is such a huge difference in results. It is well worth the effort that it's going to take to really get results. It will really change everything.
Yeah. Here's what folks don't realize and what I didn't realize and what you didn't realize back in the day when we were avid multitaskers is that for every little tiny interruption, it might be that 1 minute to go check your email. You think it's 1 minute or that 1 minute to go off and do whatever it is. It's not 1 minute. It's that 1 minute your whole concentration and focus is now broken. And after that minute, then you go, oh, now there's something else I have to look at. Oh, my gosh, look at that. Oh, I better take care of that. And pretty soon 1 minute can become 15, 20, 30, or 60 minutes. And by the
it
time
sure
you think
can.
About, right. You know, I've had that happen to me. I remember that. You know, you get things, see, and all of a sudden there's some distraction that turns into a project. And pretty soon, 2 hours later, you go back and go, oh, yeah, I was working on such and so. Now my brain is so somewhere else that now I have to get back into the swing and into the focus, whereas staying focused through getting something done through a certain amount of time or a certain level of completion really is better. It's just that at the time it's very seductive to think you're getting more done by switching focus to other things.
It is. And, you know, one of the tips that I have for folks who are struggling at mastering time is to spend a week tracking to the minute every single task you do. If you take a potty break, put that down in the exact amount of time it took you to do it. If your kid comes in to ask a question, get that down. Track it with what I'd call a daily time log. You can even use Excel to do it.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the week, go back through and analyze. How much time did you spend doing what? Where were the bigger distractions? Most of the distractions are distractions that don't come in big time blocks. It's that 1 minute to answer a question from your kid that happens 10 times a day. It's the answering the phone and it's a wrong number. It takes 10 seconds, but it takes 20 minutes to get you back to where you were at before the phone call came and interrupted you. If you can track for a week every single thing you do down to the minute, by the end of the week you'll have a really good understanding of why you're not as efficient and productive as you should be. Then you can start building systems to help you avoid the interruptions and the distractions that are costing you the results. So when you start looking at what those interruptions and distractions are, know that it's very much you allowing the distractions. It might feel like it's someone else's fault that they came and interrupted you, but that's really your fault. You can only control your own actions. if others are interrupting you, it's because you didn't do anything to train them that they couldn't do that. You've been allowing it for so long that it's not their fault that they expect you to stop what you're doing to answer their questions. You've been doing it.
Uh-huh.
So in identifying where the interruptions are coming from, you're going to then need to put some plans in place and start doing some training with the people in your life to help teach them what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Especially if you're married and you've got kids, you can't expect that your family just is going to totally avoid you because it's during your hours of business. However, you can make time during the day that's more of a flex time and let them know what that flex time is. Flex time is the only time during the day that you allow them to interrupt you with questions. The only time during the day where you allow phone calls to come in that you actually answer. The only time that you respond to instant messages. If nobody interrupts you during your flex time that day, great, you had a nice little break or you could do something else fun for a little while, but at the end of flex time, you go back to getting to the to-do list and getting things done. If you can start allocating time chunks, not more than 2 hours in a chunk, to getting tasks done, when you first get started, you're probably not going to predict how long it will take you very well. But do that for a week, do that for 2 weeks, you'll find that if you stop at the allocated time, whether it's done or not, and you go on to the next thing on your schedule, and if you didn't finish the first task, it's got to go back on the to-do list again tomorrow. By the following week, you'll start doing a better job of either predicting the amount of time it really will take you or actually accomplishing that task in less time. Our bodies adapt easily, and it really does cause us to train our minds and our bodies to start doing things faster. When you've allocated the time, you did the task, and you didn't get it done, it only takes two or three times of doing that before you start getting the task done in less time.
Well, I'm sure Bob agrees that that the task will expand to fill the time allotted. So if you just keep letting
really will.
Something, yeah, it, and it's really true. If you look at that and you think about it, whether it was you or your kid studying for something or you writing a blog post, if you give yourself just an unlimited time, one blog post can take 6 or 8 hours, and it certainly doesn't have to, but it can expand to fill the time if you let it do that.
Yes, it sure can.
And that's what you're talking about.
So you need to train yourself. You need to train the people around you. All of it needs to have some training. And habits are things that can be taught and learned. Habits can be broken as well. But it's up to you to make a focused commitment to doing that. Systems are really the key to managing time. You should be looking at everything you need to do in your business and making a list of all of those things that need to happen during the course of a week, during the course of a month. From that list, you should be then creating a to-do list. Part of why my system for building a business is as powerful as it is because it gives you very specific tasks that you've got to do every day, every week, every month. And it is much easier to manage your time because you know what those tasks really are. If you can then set up a system where you start your day during certain things that are going to happen every day, then you go on to the tasks that are once a week on certain days. Then you go on to the tasks that are once a month towards the end of the day. You can really accomplish a lot by the end of a week. In ordering the way that you choose to do that, in what order, look at what things are likely to make you the greatest amount of money with the least amount of time and the least amount of effort. The things that you start your day with should be the things that are most likely to impact making money for that day. The things you end your day with are the things that are least likely to make you money quickly. If you can focus on money as opposed to focusing on the stuff, you'll start seeing results much faster. But rarely do people really look at where the money's going to come from. They look at all this stuff they've got on their plate. And that's not a very good way of looking at it. It's why it can take months to years to actually start making money in your business. Look at the tasks you've been spending your time on. Are they things that could produce revenues? 90% of the time, they're not. So if your focus is, I need to make money, why are you doing things that don't generate money?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I also see so many people, they want to make money, and then they run off on these money trails that are supposedly going to be quick cash, which then take 10, 12, 20 hours a week, which if they just would focus on the business, on the tasks that bring money into the business, they wouldn't have to run down those money trails that are not.
Silly, isn't it? So blogging, for example, blogging is something that takes a lot of time. If you're out there writing blog posts, you're doing the things that I call the simple six-step process to drive traffic. And all of the things that you're doing on your blog have absolutely no vehicle for monetizing them. You're just writing articles. You're just sending traffic to the articles. That's it. How do you ever expect to make any money from it?
Right.
You're not doing the blogging because you want traffic. You're doing the blogging because you want money. So you've got to do things in the way that is most likely to produce those revenues. And you really can plan your day. One of the other things that Stephanie taught me was to take my to-do list and assign values to it, A1, A2, A3, B1, B2, B3. The A items on your to-do list are the money items. The B items could be money but have other things that need to happen before they will produce revenue. The C and D items are not money generators at all but may add to money down the road. And Stephanie always suggested that I do all of my A1s first because those are going to make the money quickly. I do all of my A2s next. My B's, C's, D's, if I don't ever get to them on that day, it's totally fine because I focused on where the money is. My friend David Preston also had a very similar philosophy. He would make his to-do list the night before. In the morning, as he went over his coffee, he was sitting down to organize what he was going to do in what order. He had the list from the night before. And he would start by going through the list to see how much money he could make from each task. And he would actually assign a dollar value to each task. The order that he put his to-do list in was directly correlated to the dollar value assigned to each task. That's a really novel approach to a to-do list, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah, it's absolutely novel. And it also shows that he knows from experience what that metric is.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant, if you ask me. And so his Mondays would be his big dollar days. His Tuesdays, a little less money days. By the end of the week, he was finally getting to the days where he wasn't going to make a lot of money. So he had lots of revenues coming in early in the week. And if he wanted to, he could get rid of those non-money tasks completely and outsource them or find some other way to get them done. So he just had high revenue days every day of the week.
Yeah,
the
especially
other thing that... Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, when you're bringing in the high revenue early in the week, you know then you're if you want to outsource or whatever, you're going to have the cash to be
there
able
you
to
go.
Cool.
Yep, yep. The other thing that Stephanie really looks at is, as a business owner, what should you be doing in your business versus what shouldn't you be doing in your business.
Mm-hmm.
Most small business owners that I work with, they are very willing to outsource. It's not a matter of they don't want to outsource, they do. But because they're not making money in their business, it's very challenging to outsource for very long. They can't afford to. If you can reorder your tasks around the money so that the things you're spending your time on are directly correlated to making you money, it makes it a lot easier to have the money to be able to afford to outsource. You should look at each thing that you need to do in your business and make a list that has S and T's. S for strategic, T for tactic. Tactics are all things that you can outsource. There's no tactic in this world that can't be outsourced. Strategic things, on the other hand, are things you want to think about whether you should outsource or not. Most strategic things are things that the business owner should take care of him or herself. So, can you help me give a few examples of what's strategic and what's tactical?
Sure. So let's just go through a couple of things. For example, in your six-step process for writing for getting your blog post, there's the writing of the blog post, and then there's the other things. So let's think about, would you want to outsource writing the blog post? Is that really going to be a good idea for your business? You'll end up with something that may not be in your voice and with your voice of the expert. And so that's going to affect the relationship. But then some of the other tasks, like social bookmarking, anybody can do that, right? So that's kind of the distinction that you're talking about, Gina, is between the strategic and the tactical. You think about the strategy behind writing a blog post, following the formula, making sure it's your expert voice, the speaking to the problem, using the right story, all of those things. I'm not saying that you have it outsourced. Well, you can outsource just about anything one way or the other. I mean, you can pay someone to cut your food and put it in your mouth if you want to. It's just a question of whether that's what you really want and need to do. Right? So.
Yeah, and is that really a good idea?
Right. Is that a good idea? Would you... And I know of people that have had books ghostwritten, and they're upset because they're not getting people to their website or they're not getting the speaking engagements or whatever was their goal. And you look at it and you go, this book is so bland and it's not your voice. And, of course, I wouldn't be surprised if nobody is interested or you're not getting that because the relationship isn't with you and there are, other things that can happen there, too. But just realize those are the things. The little tactical things are basically all of the little nuts and bolts that you could train your kids to do or could do. You could pay somebody. It doesn't matter that you have to be the one to do it. And that's kind of how you make that distinction.
It really is. So writing a blog post is very much strategic. The way that most internet marketers write blog posts, where they're nothing more than an article, 90% of the time they're even private label rights articles that are being rewritten and reorganized, that's not very strategic. Uh-huh. The reason that a blog post being written is strategic is because it directly builds relationships and it directly correlates to the money. Which means that we're not talking about just an everyday article. It's a very specific kind of an article that becomes a big part of what I call the traffic vortex or the traffic whirlpool. It's the content both on your site and the content that gets pushed out all over the internet using your tools and your RSS feed. It's also the content that sucks people back into the website where they then start building the relationship with you, where you're taking them by the hand and leading them down the path that you want them to go to, right to the money pages that you've got on your site. You can't get someone else to do that for you. That's your job in your business. Even if you're an affiliate marketer, you're not creating your own products. That's still your job. So the strategic things are the things that make the money happen, while the tactical things are the things that influence how the money happens. That's one distinction that I think we can make about the two things.
Yeah, that's a great
The hows you can always outsource. The whys you can't.
Yep. Yeah, that's for sure. So that's a great distinction. So really, if you go and ask inside of your business, is this something that I really need to do, or can anybody do it? Is it a how question or a how topic or a why?
Yeah. You really need to get the fact that the human mind cannot concentrate for longer than about 2 hours. Some people are a little bit more adept at concentration and focus. Maybe you could do 2.5 to 3 hours. But much more than 2 hours, all of us will lose our focus and attention. We get antsy. The internet has made this an even bigger issue than it used to be 15, 20 years ago before the internet became something that was a big deal. We love going to the internet, getting short snippets of information, going on to the next short snippet of information. Our minds are being retrained every time we're on the internet surfing to think in short snippets, in short blocks. Well, there's no way that you can focus on a task for 6 hours straight without getting agitated, irritated, unfocused, and scattered. You won't get as much done giving yourself 6 hours for something as you will giving yourself 2 hours for something. You would think three times the time would get three times the stuff done, but it doesn't work that way. You've got to keep it really short. And in this ADD world that we live in today, the shorter, the better. So you're really doing yourself a big disservice by trying to give yourself 6 hours of focused attention on one task. If you simply break that task down into smaller chunks, and maybe your to-do list really has individual snippets, not one big chunk. So writing a blog post, if you're writing a blog post with the magic formula, it doesn't need to be the entire task of writing the blog post. You could break it down to writing the story, writing the bullets, writing the explanation, writing the call to action, and give yourself short number of minutes for each chunk, say 3 to 5 minutes for each chunk, and list all of them on your to-do list. Force yourself to keep each chunk within its allotted time. It's a good idea to have a timer of some sort. An egg timer works well. There's a great little piece of software that will let you both schedule your to-dos and time them. It's at askggg.com/action. askggg.com/action. $17 at that link. At all of the other places where that software happens to be sold, I've seen it for as much as $97, and it's the exact same piece of software. Really good deal. For $17, it lets you create lists of to-do items that have associated times with them, so that if you do have a system where you've got lots of repetitive tasks, you can store chunks of tasks with the amount of times allotted in this little tool, and then each day as you plan your to-do list, it automatically creates the list for you. As you start each task, you hit the start button, and it starts the timer going. It's a great way to track how long it's taking you to do things, because it can actually give you a report at the end of the week to show you what amount of time you spent on what task. So that's a great way to get yourself chunked down in your time. But I really do believe you asked the question, what do I see some of the big problems being? When I look at my bachelor students and I look at the evidence of what they've done for a week or a month, it looks to me like they've spent maybe 1 to 2 hours in a month. I can't see more evidence than that. I know how long it does take to do these things, but it shouldn't be taking you 20 hours to get a task that should take 15 to 20 minutes done.
Right.
And I know that it's because of all of the distractions and the bad habits that people have developed. It's just the way our world works, and especially the internet marketing world works. If you've been out going through info product after info product, I promise you, you have developed bad habits. And the two biggest bad habits I know of are email and instant message. They are just awful. No one should spend 10 hours in a day going through email and think that that's been a productive day. It's not.
Yeah, okay.
How much time do you allot to email each day, Rhonda?
15 minutes.
Wow. I'd love to get it down to 15 minutes.
I will confess, do I always make it? No. But that is definitely the intention. Sometimes when I'm heavy into a project, I go in looking for specific names or whatever because it's relevant to what's timely. But, yes, generally 15 minutes is my time because – and I tell people, you know, I just don't read. Don't send me those pretty little – emails with pictures of bunnies. I won't read them. I don't even bother with that stuff. So,
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. I've finally got somebody not sending me God emails every 2 minutes, but I tell her, you know, I'm about to just blacklist your email because you send me all this junk. I'm not going to read it. I don't want to hear from you unless it's something about, you know, something personal. So.
Yes. And you have to put your foot down.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what you're saying. That the person wasn't going to stop on their own. Even when you told the person, they probably didn't stop right away, right?
No, she still hasn't totally stopped, but she's better. But now she started getting to sending me stuff, and I'm going to have to go, okay, Donna, remember this conversation? I don't read emails. I spend very little time at it. I don't read all these things. Only I'm going to hear from you when you want to talk or there's something about a friendship, that's fine. Otherwise, I don't want to see any email from you, and I'll end up blacklisting you. And she'll be mad again, I'm sure. But that's okay.
Well, you know, you have to take charge of your own time. That's really what I mean by this. How about instant message?
I turn it off for most of the day. I put it on at times when I don't, when I'm available to or be interrupted or whatever, but a lot of times I keep it off, and particularly Skype. Skype is especially bad about spammers come in and they'll drop a message and say whatever and try to get on your friends list and different things. It seems to me especially bad. So
it does to me as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, that I only really put that on when I know I want to talk to somebody, and that's why I often say, if you know you want to call me via Skype, be sure to let me know so I turn it on.
Yes.
I don't even have it on most of the day.
Well, and just setting it to red on your instant message so that it looks like you're busy doesn't stop people from contacting you. They don't care. You're there. So if you've got it set to red and someone contacts you anyway, you can't just go and respond or you're training them in a very bad way. Either completely turn it off, or if you're going to leave it set to red telling people you're busy, don't respond when you're saying you're busy. It's up to you to do that. They won't do it willingly. You've got to teach them. No means no. Just like training a dog.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely.
Tell your dog no and give him his cookie anyway. not going to be very effective.
Because they'll say, oh, no means yes, and if I just be really cute, I'll get what I want anyway, so no means yes.
Oh, Fritzer is brilliant at doing that, Linda. Just brilliant. He goes underneath the curtains every night and puts the curtain over his head so it looks like he's wearing a hat.
Oh.
And he intentionally covers his eyes, and he sits there tilting his head the other way, growling at me because he wants a Nutter Butter cookie. And he does this for hours. And when he first started doing it, it was so cute that every time that he did it, I'd give him a cookie. Well, silly little mommy taught him no means yes. And so now every night it's really a struggle. He knows now that he can only have one cookie. I break it into two halves. So two halves every 10 minutes. And in between his cookie, he has to go play. But doesn't that little shit come back at around 6 to 8 minutes and put the dang curtain over his head again? He'll go get his ball. He'll play. And he knows it's not 10 minutes. He just wants what he wants. But that's how the rest of the world is with your to-do list, too. They want what they want when they want it.
Right. And they don't care. They don't guard your time. They don't have any feeling whatsoever. And they can, and it's funny because they, and you can't just say, well, just because they get mad that you shouldn't do it. No, if they're going to get mad, they're going to get mad. If someone is not going to be your friend because you say, look, here's how it is, you know, then that's it. I mean, there's another person I know that she'll, like, send an email and ask me whatever, and because I don't read emails very much, and I may barely notice it because it's not business-related. And she goes, oh, I sent you an email at, you know, 2 in the afternoon. I'm like, oh, yeah, do you think I was reading anything but doing what I had to do for my business at that time? So.
Right. And, you know, it's bad enough if they were your customers that were doing this. At least they're making you money.
Right.
But most of your interruptions are not going to come from your customers. They're going to come from everybody else that costs you money in your life, not makes you money in your life.
Right, yeah, that's the thing. Now, Renee had a very helpful system because she has a family around her and so forth and people in her household. There's always a little difference between the in-household distractions and the online ones. You can turn the online stuff off. You can turn off the messenger. You can turn off the email, you know, all those kind of things. You can turn off the phone even. You can't necessarily turn off your kid or your spouse. Not exactly, anyway, not the same way, right? So you need to create a system, as you were talking about, if you have in-house types of distractions that can come up. So
Renee's system is brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah. So talk about what she is doing to help keep her in-house distractions out of the way.
Renee got a magnetic whiteboard and put it on the door to her office. When she's doing focused work, she closes the door and has the whiteboard on it. And at the top of the whiteboard, she had some colored magnets with some different selections on it. I can't remember what those options were. Can you?
I'm not sure what all of them were, but I think one of them said, you know, that she was on a phone call and something about that she was doing, that she was being focused or, you know, working on something or... And then there were times that...
Another one said recording. So
It
told them what task she was doing. And she does have a half hour of flex time each day built into her schedule where she will allow them to interrupt. So if she's got focused flex time in there, she can tell them through the magnets that that's what she's got. They could knock to interrupt if she's available. Below that, there's a pen, and they can write her notes and leave her messages, and she then sometimes responds by writing a note back on the whiteboard, and they have to come back to check for her answer.
Uh-huh.
But, boy, what a great way to train your family that they can't just interrupt you. it accomplishes the outcome that they're looking for, getting a message to you, getting an answer to a question, but
uh-huh.
it doesn't cause you the distraction that normally is there by them just barging in, hey, Mom, can you do this? Hey, Dad, can you do that?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So that system is really good, and you have to train yourself to realize that not everything is really an emergency. Even if people say that it is, it doesn't mean that it really is, right?
Precisely.
So, I mean,
yeah.
there is certainly a difference between shutting out your family entirely and being responsive, but a lot of times, and this is one of those tricks, letting people interrupt you makes it feel to you as if, well, I'm responding, my kid or my whatever spouse, you know, needs something and I'm being responsive, when the reality is that you're really training them to dishonor your time and your contribution and your efforts.
Well, and think about it. You know, for years before working with Stephanie, when I had my nights free and I'd spend a little bit of time with Bill, okay, so I spend a little bit of time with Bill. If I thought about checking email while we were together, I'd just go to the computer and check email. Did Bill really get my attention? No, he
no.
really didn't. If you're responding to your spouse and your kids while you're doing something else, they're not really getting your attention. Your attention is on what you're doing. So if you can really create a system, the way to do that is to really give each thing the attention it deserves. It irks uh-huh. me to no end when someone in Bill's family calls him at night during my time with him. That's
uh-huh.
my focused attention on him. I am actively there with him. I'm not doing work. I'm not thinking about work. I'm there to spend my time with him.
Uh-huh.
And he'll take the interruptions when they come in, because he hasn't bothered to train his family that that's our time. And boy, it feels very disrespectful when he does. Because
right.
it's like, look, I'm giving you my undivided attention. Why are you not giving me that in return? Your work and productivity will improve by focusing your attention on it at the appropriate time. And your kids and your
yeah.
family will really appreciate it when you then have time that you can focus on giving them your undivided attention.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That there's a big difference in the presence and the focus that you have when you are fully present with somebody versus when your attention is on five other things. And so a good thing to do that if a thought runs through your head, and I know, like sometimes a creative person, you won't be actively thinking about something, but an answer or something you were looking for may pop in your head. So you can always just write it down if it comes, but don't go ahead and go off and do stuff. You know, be very present, and it really does make a huge difference.
Well, I'll tell you, our relationship has improved so much.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm spending any more time with him. And in fact, I'm probably spending a little bit less at the moment. But
mm-hmm.
the time that I do spend with Bill, it is my undivided attention. And he can really feel the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And imagine when he does decide to train his family that, hey, between this and this time every night is our time together, and not take those distractions, I'm sure it'll improve even more. But, hey, everything in stages, right?
Exactly, exactly. Let me tell you, it was a long time, I don't know, 15, 16 years of being together before
uh-huh.
we got it to the point that it's at right now. So it's certainly a step in the right direction, that's for sure.
Right, huge improvement, very huge improvement.
Yeah. And in your business, the one thing that you should know if you don't already is that it's really important that you know your metrics. Well, understanding your time is simply one of the metrics that you need to understand. You should really be able within a couple of months to not just get your time down so that you're focusing on where the money's going to come from, but you should actually be able to do what David Preston is so brilliant at doing and be
mm-hmm.
able to predict, if I spend an hour doing this, this is how much money it will make me. And know the value of your time as you start to do that. If spending 1 hour doing a task will make you $500, well, your time is worth $500 an hour. And unless you're spending $500 an hour to outsource work to someone else, it's more than likely going to give you a return on your investment to do it that way. So really look at the metrics, not just how much traffic am I getting, but how much traffic does it take to make $1? How many subscribers does it take to make $1? How many hours of my time do I need to spend to make $1? And work every day at improving the value of your time per hour.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I notice with people is spending too much time in learning, listening, watching stuff versus actually implementing stuff.
Oh, yes. Big deal.
And I want to mention this because we're running out of time, but because it is something that's really important with time. So a lot of people will count just being on a call, being on a webinar, or going through whatever learning materials they're into, or reading a book or watching a video on how to do whatever it is. But then when it comes to the implementing, they're not doing it. And then they're not getting the result. And you think, well, gosh, I spent 10 hours this week on calls and doing this and doing that. Okay, and of that time, how much was implementation? Well, for every 1 hour, imagine spending 2 hours of implementing.
Yes.
And your results are going to be much different when you're doing something and then course correcting versus thinking about what it could be like if you actually got off your butt and did it.
Well, both Renee and Tim Bennett, who's been a guest on our show, one of the things that they are both really good at is while they do get onto calls and get into the learning calls, they really are great at applying what they're learning and actually getting results with it.
Mm-hmm.
If we talked about adding quotations as events in Facebook, if you're going out setting up an RSS feed to have quotations showing up in your blog every day, why not take a month's worth of quotes and put it in as a month-long event in Facebook? I don't think we had finished our call about this topic before Tim had actually started implementing. Within an hour of the call, he had actually had his first subscriber from that event. And within 5 days, he had over 125 people that had subscribed to a list because he was using the quotes on his blog to generate the traffic from a Facebook event. You know, it didn't take him very long to do that. But boy, what great results. And he's done it 3 or 4 times since, and each and every time he's adding another 100 to 200 people to his list. Great thing to have spent an hour at most doing.
Uh-huh.
Renee will actually listen to the recordings of the training calls over and over and over again in the background all day long while she's doing other things. If she's working in her job, she's driving in the car, she's eating dinner. She's got stuff going on in the background. And when she's just working, all the recordings turn off. She only works at doing what she's doing.
Right.
But she's really learning by osmosis, even if she's not focused on that while she's driving or she's eating. She really does pick up stuff and turns around and applies it in very short order. It's all about the results. There's so much information out there. You can't possibly get to all the calls that you'd want to go to.
Of course not.
Pick and choose which ones are really going to help you make the money with the least amount of effort in the biggest way possible with the least amount of time.
And make a commitment to implement at least one thing from that call that is going to turn into money now or very soon. You know, not a big project that's going to take a lot of stuff, but at least implement that one thing that you can do as soon as possible. Also, being able to play call recordings or any kind of learning while you sleep, that's a brilliant way as well, and I do that a lot of times. Stuff will
That is a very good idea.
yeah, you won't realize that you're learning something, but you really are. And then by the time you go to apply the knowledge, a lot of it's there, especially if you kind of tell your mind, okay, I'm going to be playing this good learning stuff, this good soul nourishment, whatever stuff in the background. And brain, what I want you to do is take it, start acting on it, implement it, make the changes necessary. And if you train yourself to do that, then even background stuff will get into your results.
Well, you know how at the end of each call I ask for takeaways?
Yes.
That's why I ask for takeaways. What I'm asking really is, what are you going to go take action on when you leave? So, great way to wrap up today's call. Figure out what one thing you really want to apply from today's show. Go get it done today, not tomorrow, not next week's to-do list. Go apply one thing you've learned from today's show. You will see great results quickly if you do. So thanks so much for the show today, Rhonda.
Yeah, add what you're going to do to the comments for the show today. That would be great. And then that will be a public way of showing what you're going to do. And this has been a great show, Gina. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And Rhonda and I will be back next week for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.